Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, to Three Men for Thee. We're honored to have with us today Mr. Tim Purvis, who I met at a wild game dinner that was at Mount Tabor Methodist Church, and had the opportunity to hear his testimony and his out-of-body experience when he shared with us his experiences of seeing hell. So, Tim, we're glad to have you with us today. If you would like to just tell us a little bit about yourself, we're ready.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank y'all for the opportunity to tell my story. I get a blessing every time I have the opportunity to do it. So I'm 74 years old. I was a farmer. I was raised in the small town of Hobgood, North Carolina. I've lived there all my life. I have a wife. I have three sons. All three of my sons are Eagle Scouts. They were all raised up on the farm. I accepted Christ at a very early age. I was raised up in the Baptist Church of Hobgood and raised all my family up there. As I grew up, ended up going off to NC State. I came back home and got involved in the politics in the town. I was on the town board for many years. I served as mayor of the town of Hobgood for about 15 years. To all appearances, I was a good man. I was a good Christian. I had served on the deacon board in my church. I've served as chairman of the board of deacons. But I always knew that it was something missing in my life, even though I was, as you might say, I was walking the walk. I was not the person that God wanted me to be. As I went through life, I experienced everything most farmers experience. I know what it's like to lose a whole year's work in the field from hell. I know how to lose a crop from drought. I know how to lose a peanut crop from too much rain. I was raising peanuts. I was raising cotton. I ran 300 head of cattle. I was very progressive in what I was doing, in the fact that I was AI-ing all my cattle. My heifer calves were of such good quality that were going back into other people's herds, and my steers were going into the Amish country up in Pennsylvania. So I was pretty much top end of my field as far as being in the cattle business. But it's the difference between farmers is all farmers are good. It's the ones that get the rain and the ones that don't. And I experienced how tough life can be farming. But I never complained about it. God had always been good. Anyway, as I went on through life, I'd had some heart stents put in, so I knew what it was like to have heart trouble. And I reached a point that I was getting very weak, and I'd been going to see a heart surgeon down in Greenville, and I knew I was at a point that I was going to have some extra work done. And I was guided up to Wake Med to a doctor up there that could see me. I was having pain, and they decided to do a CAT scan on me. And when they did, they found out that putting stents in was not going to solve my problem. I was going to have to have a bypass. And I found out about this on a Tuesday, and they couldn't operate on me until the following week because some of the medications that I was on had to come out of my system. And I had a period of time of 7 days in there. And being from a small community like I am, and also my wife is involved in Bible study fellowship over in the town of Rocky Mount, which is about 600 women involved in that. And being in a small community, I knew all the churches, everybody. I had a lot of people praying for me. You just can't believe how much prayer I had, and it was just a wonderful feeling. Well, we all know that I know about myself, I'm always striving to be a better person, but I never really strived to be the person that God wanted me to be. I wanted to be the kind of person I wanted to be. And when I went in for my surgery, it ended up taking a whole lot longer time than what would normally take. It ended up being a 9-hour surgery. And I ended up defibbing while I was in there, and they had to bring me back. While I was in the operating room, everybody has heard stories of people that have seen the light. We've all heard stories. There's been lots of books written of people seeing the light and how wonderful the light is. Well, I didn't see the light. What I saw was the depths of hell. And I didn't see the depths of hell for a short time. I saw the depths of hell for a long, agonizing time. And I don't mean it was a blurred vision. It was high def. It was as clear as anything you could ever see. We all, it was nothing that I've ever read, nothing I've ever seen on television or movies can compare to what I saw, or the crystal clearness of what I saw. And I don't mean a short time. I mean a long, long time. And while I was in this state, I was suspended over hell where I could look out, and it was just a boiling pit of fire. And it looks like people have asked me how would I describe it. It was just like a boiling entrance in it, and it was the most awful place. And I was constantly fighting. I did not want to go any lower from where I was suspended looking into this.
Did you sense that you were going lower? Or
no, it was just like I was stuck in this one place. And as I was there, I was trying to reach out for anything I knew or I could remember about God. My mind was like a computer that somebody had erased a hard drive. I had no touch with God whatsoever. It was the loneliest, most desolate feeling you could ever imagine when you do not have God in your life. All my life prior to this, even though I wasn't the person God wanted me to be, I knew God was there for me. And at this particular stage where I was right now, God was not there. I was alone. I fought and fought and fought, trying so hard to come up with something that I could grasp and be back with God. But I couldn't. And it was just wrestling over and over and over trying to do this. Finally, after the longest period of time, I remember my mother's favorite Bible verse, which is Philippians 4:13, which is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And oh, how good it made me feel. I started saying that over and over and over again. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And as I kept saying this over and over and over again, I could feel myself feeling, I could feel the presence of God. I could feel that I was getting a little bit stronger. I was not alone anymore. Then after doing this for the longest amount of time, I remembered a song. And what's so amazing about this was the clarity of everything and the simplicity of what I experienced. The song I remembered was Jesus Loves the Little Children. And I started singing that. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And those two things, I kept repeating them over and over and over again. And as I was doing this, I could start feeling the prayers. I could feel myself being pulled away from what I was looking at. And I could feel myself coming back. And as I was coming back, I was made aware that God had given me talents, and I had not utilized my talents for the glory of God. I utilized my talents for the glory of man. I had not done what God had given to me the way He had wanted me to use them. And that if I came back, if I came back, it was going to be my duty to tell anybody that would listen, go wherever I could go, and tell people that hell is real. Hell is a real place. And also tell people that God gives us talents, and we're to utilize our talents. Your talent might be preaching. Your talent might be singing in the choir. Your talent might be tithing. Your talent might be giving somebody a smile, encouraging somebody, telling somebody about Christ. Whatever your talent is, you're to utilize your talent for the glory of God. And God's going to hold us accountable if we do not utilize our talents.
Tim, let me just ask you a question here just for a minute, because I know Jack and Alan are chomping at the bits as well. When you said the time seemed forever, did it seem like it was minutes, hours, days? And how far were
it
you?
It was like I had no. It was just infamy.
Time had stopped.
It was nothing. It was just, here you are. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't change. This is what you're looking at. And as I look back on my life, I can tell. I know now, God. My life has been about like a pinball machine. God has set up the bumpers, and He's knocked me around. I was at this place because that's where He wanted me. He wanted me there. He wanted me to see what I need to see. And He wanted to tell my story about hell and about talents. And that's what I'm trying to do.
So let me ask you, did you hear anything? Was there any sound? Was there any screaming? Was there anything like that?
It was no noise. And as far as everything that I found out about my talents and about telling about hell, that was just like a presence was. It was just. It was. It was not a. It was not words. It was just like that the essence of God had pushed that on me. I knew that was what my duty was to do.
So you didn't hear anything? Did you feel anything? Did you feel heat coming up?
Didn't feel anything.
You didn't recognize anything in hell?
Did you? I recognized a boiling lake of fire, and it was just boiling. And as I and where I was, if I looked up, it was just like a big brown tunnel that I'd come down. But it was the longest time. It was just for me, it was forever.
Did you try to verbalize? Your mind was blank, and then as you were there for a period of time, you began to remember Bible verses. And did you try to verbalize those? Do you recall actually talking with your voice, or was all this in your mind?
All this was in my mind. But I was to myself, I was saying it over and over again.
Did you think you were going to get dropped down into the pit?
I thought that was a good possibility. I sure did. So especially when the most lonesome feeling you can have is for God not to be with you. I do not understand how anybody can go through life and not have God side by side leading them where they need to go. I can't understand it. As I felt myself coming back, and as I knew what I was supposed to do, I experienced two people that I had known that had passed away in the last 6 months prior to my surgery. One of them was a man by the name of Billy Willis, who is a commercial fisherman down at Harker's Island that I met at church down there. He's been a Christian all his life. He's raised three sons that are all dynamic preachers up in the Lynchburg, Virginia area. When he retired from commercial fishing, he took a job as working on a ferry service going from Minnesota Beach to Cherry Branch, which anybody might be familiar with, that's where Camp Seagull is at Minnesota Beach. And he used his time on that ferry to witness. He didn't get on the ferry and ride across. He witnessed to anybody, all the cars on that, tell them about Jesus. The other person I knew was a friend of mine by the name of Bill Dean, was from Little Washington. First time I ever went duck hunting, the first time I ever went offshore fishing, I went with him. He was a good man, but he was not a Christian. 3 months before he passed away, he called my wife up because I hadn't been doing it. My wife had been witness to him, and he said, "I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want you to know that." And as I was coming back, I experienced like that essence. They made me aware that we are all right. I thought that was amazing. It was just like a flash. We're okay. Anyway, I woke up in intensive care.
Well, let me back up just a minute, because did you see them in the tunnel?
Saw them as they were in the light.
And did they speak to you?
They made me aware that they were all right.
Did they wave at you? Did they just nod their head?
I just saw a glow.
But you just saw a glow?
And I recognized their glow. I recognized them. No doubt who they were. They were standing side by side, you know, and they said, "We are all right." And that was a wonderful feeling right there. And because I'd gotten a glimpse of hell, and I'd gotten a glimpse of heaven. Anyway, when I woke up in intensive care, I had all these doctors and nurses, all the bells and whistles hooked up to me. And they said, Mr. Purvis said, oh, your family's been waiting outside for over 9 hours. I said, waiting to see you. I know you'd like to see them. And I said, no. I said, I don't want to see my family. And they all looked at me and they said, I said, I need to see the chaplain at the hospital and I need to see him right now. It just so happened that the chaplain was a Lady Baptist preacher. And she came in, she came on in, the light, she was right outside the door. She came in and she said, I understand you need to see me. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I want to rededicate my life and I want to do it right now. And I mean, I woke up, I was clear. My mind was clear when I was doing it. And we had prayer, I rededicated my life, and then I looked at all those doctors and nurses and I said, and now I have a story I want to tell y'all.
Listeners, we're going to stop right now. Can you imagine? You don't get to hear the rest of this story until you tune in to part two. Tim, again, we want to thank you for this wonderful interview and this wonderful story. And we are really encouraging our listeners to tune back to part two so they can hear the remaining part of this amazing story of your vision of hell and what you saw and what you want to share with everyone. So until then, listeners, tune back in to part two. We love you all. God bless you too.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, behold,
I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.